From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the IRS tax exemption controversy and the Texas groups on the right and the left caught in it, and how the Texas Department of Health left millions of dollars unspent while women's health clinics closed across the state. This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The IRS controversy has exploded across the media over the last week. Lawmakers are investigating what happened at the Internal Revenue Service, and they are turning their attention to the question whether the IRS officials misled Congress about the policy that targeted conservative groups for extra screening while they sought tax exemption. The conservative groups had the words Tea Party, 912, and Patriots in their titles, and they were seeking tax-free status while saying they were non-political. Under the law, to receive a 501c4 status, groups were required to exclusively be working for social welfare and not be involved in politics. But over the years, that exclusive was interpreted by the IRS to mean primarily, and from there it became increasingly difficult to tease out which of the groups qualified for the tax-free status, especially after the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United ruling. Texas conservative organizations were caught up in the middle of the net of the IRS and had their 501c4 status request delayed, but there are also reports that Texas progressive organizations were also subjected to the same level of scrutiny. But as the investigation unfolds, we'll have to wait and see if that's a false equivalency. The Waco Tea Party is one of the conservative organizations that says they were treated unfairly by the IRS. Toby Marie Walker is the president of the Waco Tea Party. I caught up with her via cell phone Thursday afternoon while she was in Washington, D.C., preparing for the congressional hearings on the IRS controversy.
Well, we started in February of 2009. We applied for 501c4 tax status in July of 2010, and then we didn't hear anything from the IRS until about the application, other than, you know, hey, we received your application. February of 2012, we received a letter of demand for a series of questions, and it was 22 questions plus subsets, so it was a good amount of questions that they wanted. And then we received our, it took us 8 or 9 months back and forth with them, and then we received our status March of this year.
Morning.
And what is the status?
The 501c4 status.
So you did get approval?
Just recently, yes.
Okay, so tell me about this. So how is it that this was a punitive or unfair system?
It wasn't the system. It was the questions. It was the targeting. They asked us questions that were impossible to answer, or if, you know, they were so onerous to answer. For example, one of the questions asked us for a hard copy of every news or media story that had been put out about us where we were mentioned, even if we didn't participate in it. Well, if I had done that, it would have taken me, you know, months and months and months to do that, because we've been in news stories in 8 or 9 countries and in the United States, and, you know, we were fairly active. So just that alone. Then they wanted a list of questions of the close personal relationships that we had with any candidate for office, elected official, or political. And so when we called and asked, well, what's close relationship? The IRS told us, well, that's, you know, subjective. So just tell us everybody that you know that has anything to do with that, what the relationship, who the relationship's with, and we'll let you know.
So you're talking about this, the process. They were asking for all this information, all these questions. They wanted to know about relationships and donors and things like that. So why do you think they wanted all this information? You think they were just on a fishing expedition?
It seemed like they were, because different groups got different sets of questions. There was no uniformity to it at all. And we understand scrutiny, but when they step outside the law or outside the bounds of what they're allowed to ask for, you know, for a C4 application, that's when we became alarmed.
Now, of course, you were suspicious that you were being targeted because you are a Tea Party organization. Did they say anything that made you think that or verify that suspicion?
No, what had happened is in the waiting interim, you know, from the time that we filed until the time we finally received our letter, we had heard from other groups and organizations that had gone through this and what they had wanted. So we were kind of expecting that they would do this at some point.
Right, because this is happening with other Texas Tea Party organizations, including one in San Antonio, Allen, Tarrant County. So this is not an isolated incident, as we now know from, you know, reading the media.
Yeah, and one of the ones that really alarmed us was the Central Texas 912 group. The IRS had asked for a password into their website so that they could see everything.
Now, so you're applying for tax-free status. Can you kind of explain for the listeners why a Tea Party organization ought to have tax-free status?
Well, a social welfare tax-exempt status is a 501c4, and what that allows you to do is not pay taxes on the amount of, you know, what you bring in. So for us, you know, it's a few hundred dollars a year, but when you have a very small operating budget, less than $10,000 a year, you know, a couple hundred dollars makes a big difference in what you can do with your activities. The other reason that we chose to go that route was if you have a C4 status, you can get discounts from your vendors. For example, your, you know, your email providers and website hosting. If you have a, you know, a venue, will give you a discount because you're a C4. So when we hold forums or when we hold training seminars or, you know, we do a lot of civics classes and that kind of thing, you get a discount for that.
Having this 501c4 nonprofit status, you don't have to pay like sales tax on items, and you get people who donate to you that like they get to write that off their taxes?
Yes. But no, they don't get to write it off their taxes. It's not tax free.
Okay.
But it does allow us to shield our volunteers and our, you know, our email list and that kind of thing, so that there's not retribution. Because believe it or not, because you know, some members of the media have kind of painted the Tea Parties in a negative light, there were businesses and organizations that didn't like us for reasons that were not any of our own, and it also helps protect people's jobs.
Right. So the donors and activity people, that's secret.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys are a social welfare organization. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
So tell me about how you're doing social welfare.
We do a lot of seminars and a lot of training in civics for like how a bill becomes a law, how to become more politically active or politically engaged with your elected officials, about attending city council, school boards, county commissioners, tracking legislation that's important to people. So we do, you know, kind of teach people about being good citizens and letting their elected officials know, you know, what they think. We also do a lot of meet and greets or, you know, updates. We call them like the state of the county, and we'll bring in the sheriff and a county commissioner and maybe the county judge or the auditor, something like that. And they'll come and they'll talk about that department, where they're at with their budget, you know, what initiatives they have, so that citizens are well aware of what's going on in their own community. We do not endorse or support candidates. We don't run ads for or against candidates. We don't donate money to candidates. We don't support or endorse political parties. We'll work with anybody who will work with us.
Right. So you are a nonpartisan organization.
Yes, we have. You know, especially in the 2010 cycle, we didn't have as many Democrats run in our county in 2012, but we did have them come to our, a couple of them come to our events. We have libertarians come to our events, we have Republicans come for, you know, independents. It's an open door policy. You know, we had a gentleman just recently running for school board that, you know, longtime Democrat that still came in and talked to us and, you know, talked about why he wanted to be on the school board, what he thought schools should be doing in our area. So we don't look at that as a precursor for speaking with our group.
could you understand why some people might think that you are more tend to lean towards the conservative side of the of politics and not necessarily across the board supportive?
I understand it, but I don't understand why the president is allowed to have Organizing for Action that he's turned his campaign into, which is a C4, and no one has a problem with that.
Which one?
The president of the United States, Organizing for Action.
And that's a C4, just like Crossroads, like Crossroads USA is a, a C4, Rove's organization.
So, you know, we're very small. We're a grassroots, you know, on the ground, small organization. We're not in that league at all.
So what do you think when you hear that there are some left or some progressive organizations that also had to answer these questions, groups like Progress Texas and also Free Elections Texas, which was also a progressive organization?
If they had to answer the same kind of questions that we had to answer and that it was similar, I am just as outraged. And they should not have to go through that either.
Well, you're in Washington, D.C., doing all you can to prepare for hearings that are going to be held on this issue. What do you want to see to come out of these hearings?
I want every IRS official or employee that was involved with this to be fired or to resign. And I don't think they should ever be allowed in public service again.
And how high do you think this may go in the Obama administration?
I have no idea. I would hope it wasn't out of his administration and that this was Treasury or somebody. I mean, today, you know, I saw a news story where there were two higher-ups that had resigned over this because they knew it was going on. And knowing it's going on and not stopping it is as bad as doing it.
Well, good luck to you guys, and I'm glad you finally got your status, and I hope this means that you'll be a sustainable and healthy organization.
I surely hope so. And if there's any Texas more progressive liberal groups that are going through the same thing, we'd be happy to help them obtain their status and get things done too. I mean, we're not, this shouldn't happen to any American.
Toby Marie Walker is the president of the Waco Tea Party. Her organization says they were treated unfairly by the IRS as they sought 501c4 tax-free status. We spoke while she was in Washington, D.C. on Thursday preparing for the congressional hearings on the IRS controversy. And as we mentioned, there are Texas liberal groups that also had their IRS C-4 applications held up and subjected to additional scrutiny by the IRS. We don't know yet how the numbers of liberal groups versus conservative groups compare, but Progress Texas says they had to deal with the same issues that the Tea Party groups did with the IRS. Ed Espinosa is the director of Progress Texas.
Yeah, so we submitted an application for a 501c4 to be a 501c4 organization, which in the IRS code is a tax exempt organization. And in order to do that, we had to fill out a certain number of forms. We had to jump through some hoops, and the process took a while, but we had to answer a lot of questions, just like some of these organizations are complaining about. But in the end, we were approved. It took a while, but we were approved just like these other organizations were.
Do you feel like the IRS was really, you know, scrutinizing your associations and who your donors were?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we had a 9-page, 21-question document. It was very in-depth. But anytime you're going to ask, I think that any organization that is requesting to not pay taxes because you're doing some sort of greater good, there should be a higher threshold for you to demonstrate that you are doing something that is legitimate. And in our case, we were happy to do that. We accepted as part of the vetting process. And ultimately, our status was accepted. And the way I understand it, all the other conservative groups, the Tea Party groups, were accepted as well.
According to the report and in the early stages of this investigation into the IRS, there said that roughly a third of the applications singled out had the words Tea Party, Patriots, 912 in their name. The IRS was not exclusively focusing on conservative organizations?
Not from the way we understand it, from what I've seen in news reports, is two-thirds of the groups that they've looked at were not Tea Party or conservative groups. We don't know what they were. So to say that they have, that for these Tea Party groups, to say that they were the only ones subject to this, I think is reaching.
Now, but they're saying even if it were not just conservative groups, and if they're also going against after progressive organizations like you, Progress Texas, then that's wrong too, that no American should have to go through this process.
Well, but see, at that point, it's no longer being singled out. It's a difference of opinion. If they think that no American should have to go through this process, then fine. If they don't like waiting a long time for an approval process, if they don't like filling out paperwork, that's their problem. Americans have to do that kind of stuff every day. If the Tea Party doesn't think they should play by the rules that everybody else plays by, then that's their problem.
What do you do? Why do you think that Progress Texas deserves to be a tax-free organization?
Well, what our organization does, it seeks to educate the electorate on issues that are happening around the state, ways that we can engage people in the political process, and we don't take partisan sides. We don't get involved in partisan issues, partisan elections. But ours is purely an approach that really seeks to bring people closer to their government. We think that there are a lot of people in Texas who hold progressive values, people who care about the environment, people who care about health care, people who care about education, but that those issues may not always be voiced at the state capitol. And we seek to give voice to those issues.
It seems like you're saying that this is just what it takes. If you want to get this special tax exempt status, then you have to just endure the process. And that
that's exactly right. If you want a tax exempt status, you have to endure the process. And I think that that's something that we should expect. If somebody is trying to have an exemption, there should be a higher standard to demonstrate why the exemption is warranted. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. We shouldn't be offering anyone a free pass when it comes to a tax exemption.
And so as you see events as they have folded thus far, you're not seeing a scandal?
Not necessarily. I don't think that having to wait a long time for your approval of a C-4 is a scandal. I don't think asking questions to prove that you're not engaging in partisan activity is a scandal. I don't think that playing by the same rules that everybody else plays by is a scandal. I think that these are inconveniences that they're up in arms over, but not necessarily ones that are a scandal.
And that the fact that it's been not just exclusively right-wing Tea Party 912 organizations who were subject to this, then that kind of like takes the teeth out of the argument that this was targeted.
Yeah, I mean, look, their biggest argument is that they have been targeted to do something that no one else has been asked to do, and it's just not true. They've been asked to play by the same rules as everybody else, and if they have a problem with it, that's up to them. But we went through the process, and we were fine with it. And it took some time, but we accept that as appropriate vetting for tax-exempt organizations, and we think that they should too.
Ed Espinosa is the director of Progress Texas, a liberal nonprofit that says they were subjected to the scrutiny of the IRS while seeking tax-free status, similar to the conservative Tea Party and 912 organizations, now fueling the IRS controversy in Washington, D.C. Times are tough these days in Texas for low-income women seeking low-cost or free reproductive health care. In the last 2 years, 60 women's health clinics have been forced to shut their doors across the state, cutting off an estimated 140,000 women from their services. What makes these facts all the more unsettling is that the Texas Department of Health was sitting on $2.3 million in unspent federal funds, which was supposed to be used to keep those clinics running. Freelance writer Carolyn Jones discovered this with a Freedom of Information request while investigating the Texas Department of Health. Jones is a frequent contributor to the Texas Observer.
So this relates to a federal grant called the Title 10 grant, which covers family planning services like birth control, wellness exams, STD tests for low-income men and women. And historically, the Department of State Health Services in Texas has managed this grant, And in the last 2 years, they had $14.5 million in this Title 10 grant, and they were responsible for distributing this to various family planning agencies across Texas. But during the 2011 legislative session, the family planning budget, including these Title 10 monies, was slashed by two-thirds, and this caused 146 providers to lose family planning money and more than 50 family planning clinics to close. So this was, you know, very serious consequences for low-income men and women in Texas. The Texas Observer, we did a Freedom of Information request to the Department of State Health Services to find out just how much money was left in this Title 10 grant, and we discovered that they had more than $2.3 million left in the grant out of a total of $14.5 million. That seems quite high.
Doing rough math, that looks about 17% of what they had,
right.
What was
That's
left
right.
unspent.
Yeah. Now, the Department of Health explains that they had this amount of money left because they had been keeping the money aside for several large providers who'd planned to expand their services, but it turns out they didn't. They also kept some money aside for providers who billed late in the session. And as the Department of State Health Services said to me by email when I asked them about this, they said that this $2.3 million had been an estimate and it would come down once the providers had filed their claims. They also said to me it's standard practice not to spend a budget like this all the way down to zero.
Right. So we have in Texas, in 2011, the Texas legislature slashed the budget by two-thirds for family planning in the state. And so there was a dire need. And according to the University of Texas, a study they performed, 140,000 low-income women lost services for reproductive health because of this budget slashing. So that $2.3 million would have gone a long way, I imagine.
Absolutely, yes. I mean, for example, one provider in rural central Texas had six family planning clinics, and they were receiving $394,000 annually from the Department of State Health Services. They lost all of their money in the last legislative session and ended up having to close every last clinic last summer. And that money certainly would have made a difference to them. They are now not able to open, and 2,000 men and women in rural Texas have lost accessible, affordable services.
So when the State Department of Health says, well, we can now provide money to these agencies to provide these services, they're out of business.
Right.
So
exactly.
So these late checks aren't going to do any good.
No, certainly not for providers like this. The Department of Health say that this $2.3 million that's left over is being distributed to providers, so it's not as if it's being rerouted out of the health system. But I think the question is, when the money was needed the most, why wasn't it being spent? So, for example, you know, these small rural providers who were really struggling to keep their doors open, they certainly could have used an injection of cash at the time, whereas now it's too late. They've laid off their staff. They've given up their rental properties. They've, sold all of their equipment. It just would cost too much to start up again.
Texas, of course, has a issue with Planned Parenthood, and they feel that Planned Parenthood and its affiliates that is bad news, and they don't want to fund Planned Parenthood in any way, shape, or form. But is this something different?
This is it's a bit of that, and there were two family planning pots of money in Texas. There was the state-run family planning budget, which included this Title 10 federal money we're talking about. And there was also something called the Medicaid Women's Health Program. And in 2011, that pot of money was slashed by two-thirds, and a number of providers, including Planned Parenthood, lost all of their funding. The Medicaid Women's Health Program was a separate stream of money, and legislators also voted to remove Planned Parenthood from that stream of money, too, and shift it from a Medicaid-funded program to a Texas-funded program. And this was a big deal for providers because Planned Parenthood was one provider that provided 45% of the services for women's health program clients in Texas, and they are now out of that altogether. So now the Texas Women's Health Program is funded by the state. There are no federal dollars for that, and Planned Parenthood is not involved. However, going back to that family planning pot of money we were talking about that included Title 10, historically the Department of State Health Services has always managed the Title 10 pot of money, but this year the State Health Department actually lost control of that money to a rival bidder called the Women's Health and Family Planning Association of Texas, and that's a non-profit coalition of providers. So they now control this pot of money, and because they are not associated with the state, they are able to distribute that money to a number of providers, some of whom include Planned Parenthood affiliates. So Planned Parenthood will be receiving some Title 10, some federal Title 10 dollars, but it's certainly nothing like the amount that they were receiving prior to the 2011 legislative session.
Now, are there plenty of people in Texas who are opposed to abortion? And so do they celebrate the fact that Texas didn't spend $2.3 million for in family planning funds over the past year?
I really couldn't speak to that, Dave. I'm not sure. I think there would certainly be groups who would be pleased that the money wasn't being spent on Planned Parenthood. But I think there's been an unfortunate conflation between family planning services and abortion. Title 10 money was never going towards abortion services. It was only going towards family planning services, which, as I say, is things like birth control, which, you know, prevents abortion. So if there were celebrations in that area, it would be a misinformed celebration.
Well, there seems to be no shortage of that misinformation that some folks feel that, I mean, that's what happened to, you know, Planned Parenthood. Many of the clinics that had nothing to do with providing abortions were zeroed out by the state simply because they had the name Planned Parenthood on their marquee.
Yeah, absolutely. And even family planning clinics that weren't associated with Planned Parenthood lost money too and closed. So, yes, it's a very unfortunate misunderstanding that somehow abortion is the same as family planning. And unfortunately, it has affected thousands of low-income men and women. And, you know, the effects of that on these men and women's health, those are going to have long-term consequences, not to mention the cost to the state of the number of unplanned pregnancies and late detected cancers, you know, all the sorts of things that are picked up by these family planning clinics.
And now in the legislature, haven't they found that because with these clinics closing that they're seeing an increase in pregnancies, and that's also costing the state of Texas?
That's right. The Department of State Health Services themselves have estimated that they will be bracing for an extra 24,000 births as a result of these family planning cuts. And that is a phenomenal number when you consider that many of those births will be on Medicaid, and the cost per Medicaid birth is something like $11,000 for the first year of the child's life alone. That includes maternity care in the first year of the child's life. So 24,000 births times 11,000 is a lot of money for the state to be footing.
Carolyn Jones is a freelance writer and frequent contributor to the Texas Observer. She writes that the Texas Department of Health has $2.3 million in unspent federal funds, which could have been used to support women's health clinics running across the state. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. If you got questions or comments, you can email us at texasmatters@tpr.org. We've also got a comments section on our website. That's at tpr.org. And we've got past Texas Matters programs posted there that you can listen to. And we are available free on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.